Hello, and welcome to Bowel Cancer UK's podcast. I'm Genevieve Edwards, Chief Executive of Bowel Cancer UK, and we're the UK's leading bowel cancer charity, determined to save lives and improve the quality of life of everyone affected by bowel cancer. Now, we fund targeted research, we provide expert information and support to patients and their families, and we educate the public and professionals about the disease. We campaign for early diagnosis and access to the best treatment and care. Now, we're delighted to launch our This Is Bowel Cancer podcast series this Bowel Cancer Awareness Month. And this is our first episode. And it's all about how we can raise awareness of the disease. Now, every 15 minutes, someone is diagnosed with bowel cancer in the UK. And that's nearly 43,000 people each year. So part of our Bowel Cancer Awareness Month, we carried out a survey to find out what the general population know about the symptoms of bowel cancer. Now, I'm afraid the results showed there's still so much more to do in this respect, because more than 4 in 10 people, actually 45% in the UK, can't name any bowel cancer symptoms at all. And I was shocked when I saw this, because that statistic has got worse from last year. It was 40%. So I know our focus has been on COVID and the pandemic, and that's completely understandable. But we really need to do more to recognise the symptoms of bowel cancer. Now, those symptoms, if you're one of those 45%, the most common is blood in your poo or bleeding from your bottom. And that's the one that most people said in our survey. But the other symptoms had really low awareness rates. And those are things like if you have a persistent change in your bowel habits, so you know what's normal for you, but if something changes, if you get a pain or lump in your tummy, if you have unexpected weight loss, or you're really tired, fatigued for no reason, then you need to go and see your GP. You need to go and talk. Now, mostly, you'll be ruling bowel cancer out because it will probably be something else. But if you have got something serious, the earlier it's diagnosed, anybody diagnosed with stage 1 bowel cancer, most people will survive it. So it really is worth knowing those signs and symptoms, because bowel cancer is treatable and curable if it's diagnosed early. So joining me today are Rachel Reed and Harriet Watson, two people within our bowel cancer community who are doing a huge amount to raise awareness of the disease themselves. Rachel was diagnosed with bowel cancer at the age of 33, and Harriet is a consultant colorectal nurse at Guy's and St Thomas NHS Trust and a clinical advisor for Health Education England. A huge warm welcome to you both. So, Rachel.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us today. Hello. You were diagnosed with bowel cancer in your early 30s.
Yes.
How are you at the moment?
I'm really good at the moment. I've been NED, so no evidence of disease, since April 2020. So I was diagnosed back in 2018 in November and gone through a few surgeries, chemotherapy, and got to the end of that in April. So I'm really good at the moment. So using this opportunity now to raise awareness, really.
So you got that news right at the start of the pandemic then?
Yeah, so all clear in 2020. So I thought I could sort of go back to normal, and I got the pandemic then.
Well, you've been a huge bowel cancer advocate on over on Instagram, yeah, haven't you? And, you know, why did you choose to use, you know, your platform to raise awareness in this way?
It's because I struggle to find support myself in my local community. There weren't any young people going through a cancer diagnosis at my age. I couldn't find no one. So going on Instagram, I had my personal page, and I found then a lot of people, for example, Deborah James, Bowel Babe, Kelly Kickass Kel, she'd done a lot of bowel cancer awareness raising, and I could connect with them straight away. And I thought, once I went through all my treatment, is something I could do as well. going from a stance of I haven't gone through this for nothing and I want to raise awareness of bowel cancer in young people and to show people that you're not alone, and to help people as well, because I found through Deborah James the You, Me and the Big C podcast, which was a great help to me, with Lauren and Rachel Bland as well on that podcast, giving advice, and it was three ladies that my age as well going through similar things. So yeah, I just followed, and when you follow people going through the same thing, it opens up more networks to you then, and yeah, I found it a fantastic support network online.
Yeah, there really is a really strong community, yeah, isn't there, on social media channels. And Deborah, of course, is so delighted that she's a patron of our charity, Bowel Cancer UK. But for you, when you were diagnosed, I mean, how was that for you? Because you're young, yeah, to be diagnosed with bowel cancer.
Yeah, yeah. I kept getting the same thing, that I was rare. You know, they don't see this in younger people. But then when I went online, there were so many of us being diagnosed late due to that stance. That needs to change, you know, and I was so grateful to find as well the Never Too Young Bowel Cancer UK campaign, because that's something I was used my platform to get behind as well, and to educate healthcare professionals that bowel cancer, any cancer, can happen at a young age. And unfortunately, I got diagnosed late due to my age, and due to that as well, there's not much support out there. So, you know, I had to find support where I could, scouring the internet, scouring social media for charities. So I did find charities such as Trekstock, Shine Cancer Support, that provided support for young people. But also in my community, I accessed counselling with Rowan Tree Cancer Support, and they saw me like the next day after my diagnosis. So a young person getting a diagnosis, you've got so many questions and so many fears, that getting that mental health support is vital. So I seek, yeah, that really from my local cancer support and also online.
I'm so glad that you found that support, because as you say, the majority of people diagnosed with bowel cancer are over the age of 50. Mm. And so it is rare in people at your age, but that's still 2,600 people a year under the age of 50 being diagnosed. So that's a considerable number. Yeah. And it's why we started the Never Too Young campaign all those years ago, because although incredibly rare, and I think most GPs will see one person under the age of 50 in their whole career, so for them it usually is something else, but it's so important that people like you get timely access to that diagnosis. And so you had your diagnosis and you went into treatment, and you said you had several operations and chemotherapy, and then got that amazing news in April 2020 that you've got no evidence of disease, and decided to become this advocate. But you did more than that as well, didn't you? You started supporting our work,
yeah,
and I'm super grateful that you've done that. Thank you so much. So let's talk a bit more about your advocacy on Instagram. And for some people won't know what that is, but you're doing posts, you're doing reels. How's that work for you?
Yeah, so I did initially, when I shared my story with Bowel Cancer UK, I thought, what other way can I get that message out there, the Never Too Young message? Because I was seeing time and time again that people were getting diagnosed late because of their age and due to lack of awareness that bowel cancer can happen under 50. So I did start posting just general posts about, you know, the main signs and symptoms, because when I got diagnosed, I thought I didn't have any signs or symptoms because I didn't have blood in my poo. But I had the other signs, you know, tiredness, urgency to go to the toilet, reacting to gluten and dairy and stomach pains. And I thought, if I don't know about those things, there's going to be other people in my age that, you know, cancer didn't come in my repertoire because I was fit, healthy, running half marathons. I thought I was cancer proof. You can never be cancer proof. It can happen to you. So I thought I need to use my platform to get that message out there. And in regards to Reels, it pushes past your followers, so it goes to outside their remit. So I've had one or two Reels that have gone to 10K. So when I see that, wow. I think, yes, I'm hitting a lot of people with that message. And hopefully just getting them to look for signs and symptoms and get them to go to the GP, push for that colonoscopy, push for that symptomatic fit test, just to rule out the worst first. So I'm trying not to scare people to say, if you've got this symptom, you know, you're going to have a cancer. It's not that. It's just to push that awareness out there and just get that symptom checked and get cancer ruled out.
Yes.
And there's so many of us doing that. So you've got the Bowel Movement. They are doing some fantastic work. There's other ladies, lady called Danielle, and she's done the Fitness Support Network. So she does a lot of exercise for people with young people with cancer. You've got Bing Bong Mail. They do greetings cards for people going through cancer, and all these raise awareness and raise money for charities as well, because they've seen a gap, you know, in things that young people need. So I've done one live with the Bowel Movement, which was really, really good, and I can signpost people then to my story that way instead of them reading, you know, my article I've got alive. So I'm trying to build up my Instagram by linking in with other people doing amazing work. I just feel like I'm a drop in the ocean to some people, because I know I am a stage 4 patient, had a lot of life-changing surgery, and I'm trying to do this to stop it from happening to other people. I want to get young people diagnosed at the early stage and not a late stage because of their age and because people see it as rare. And I'm really passionate. So if I do go in for surgery, I'm educating junior doctors and nurses, and anywhere I can get that message out there, I say, read my medical notes. You know, if you see a young person coming in with bowel issues, just be aware that this can happen. So I'm hoping I'm educating healthcare professionals as well as the general public.
That's lovely that you've connected with bowel, you know, the whole bowel cancer community online and through your Instagram.
Yeah.
But you must get lots of people who, you know, reaching out to you as well as part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. On my Instagram, I've got a link tree now. So if you go onto the bio, I've got loads of like links to Bowel Cancer UK. Like, a lot of people are frightened of having a colonoscopy. So when I seen Bowel Cancer UK launch their colonoscopy with confidence campaign, I put a link into that. You know, I've tried to signpost to as many things into my Instagram bio as a way I can signpost people, and try and give people confidence to go and have and push for a colonoscopy. I nearly cancelled mine, and if it weren't for my mum saying no, go, I would never have been diagnosed, because I had so many scans, blood tests, nothing showed up. The colonoscopy was one thing that saved my life, which I'm, again, just passionate of pushing, getting that colonoscopy done. But again, it's so hard as a young patient to get that referral. It's really, really difficult.
The reason we did that is that, you know, we find that a lot of people don't go to those appointments because they suddenly at the last minute think, oh, I really don't like the sound of that. But actually, I mean, you'll know from your experience, it's a routine procedure. Mm. The doctors and nurses do everything they can to put you at ease. Yeah. And it's really important that, as you say, it could probably rule cancer out.
Yeah.
But if there is something there, you know, get it sorted.
Yeah, yeah. And you have sedation, so that really helps relax you. And you've got gas and air. Mm. And I did watch it on the screen, because it's in a weird way, it takes your mind off it. But once I seen something on the screen, I thought, thank goodness something was found, because I thought I was starting to go a bit mad, thinking, am I a hypochondriac? Am I imagining the pain? You know, because every test or blood test I was having was coming back normal, or they were saying I had a cyst on my ovary. Nothing indicated cancer. So when I seen something in my bowel, I had a breathed a sigh of relief, really, that something was wrong in my bowel and I was right all along. But it did take about 2 years to get a diagnosis.
And you've shared your story. One of the things that we know at Bowel Cancer UK is the most popular content on our website, on our social channels, by far and away, is other people's stories. That's what people look for when you're going through something like you've been through and you do feel alone.
Yeah.
You know, who else around you has got a similar experience? So thank you, Rachel, for everything that you're doing to share your story and to really support other people going through this very similar journey to the one that you've gone. Everyone has their own journey, but it so helps and it raises awareness. You will be saving lives. And thank you so much for your support for Bowel Cancer UK as well. We are so grateful.
Thank you.
Well, that's brilliant. Well, we might have more questions for Rachel, but let's have a chat with Harriet now. So, Harriet, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me along.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Could you maybe start by telling us a bit about your experience of working as a colorectal cancer nurse?
Yes. So I'm a consultant nurse at Guy's and St Thomas's, and I work mainly at the moment. My role focuses around the referral and diagnosis of patients with suspected bowel cancer symptoms. But my background has been in colorectal cancer nursing for 20 to 25 years, and I used to be a colorectal cancer CNS, clinical nurse specialist. So I've been around patients that have been diagnosed with bowel cancer most of my nursing career. And my role, as I said, at the moment is very much around managing and leading a team of staff to manage our two-week wait pathway at Guy's and St Thomas's for suspected colorectal cancer.
Could you just tell us a bit, what does the two-week wait pathway mean?
Yeah. So if a patient goes to their GP with bowel symptoms and the GP wishes to confirm or exclude bowel cancer as the cause of their symptoms, they will refer them on what's called the two-week wait pathway. And that's a referral pathway where we ensure that the patient that's referred to us has a diagnostic test within 2 weeks of that referral. So that might be a colonoscopy, and very often is a colonoscopy, but it might be some other form of diagnostic procedure. And very often we're doing CT scans or CT colonography, which is like a CT scan version of a colonoscopy. So it's very similar, but it's less invasive. So Rachel very eloquently spoke about having a colonoscopy and what that's like for her, what that can be like for other patients having sedation and bowel preparation, etc.
Yes. And if anyone does want to know more about what's involved in a colonoscopy, that campaign explaining the procedure with a load of information is on our website. But Harriet, we've been talking about how supporters like Rachel have been raising awareness of bowel cancer on social media and Instagram. But what does awareness raising look like for healthcare professionals? Because I know that's something you're really passionate about.
It is, yeah. Well, I was just saying off air just a moment ago how I'd like to take Rachel with me everywhere I go. And I talk to lots of GPs. I talk to some patient groups, lots of gatekeeping healthcare professionals. And having an advocate like Rachel is just fantastic. And she's right to talk about the other champions out there that are really supporting this cause, like Bowel Babe, and of course Adele Roberts on the Radio 1, who's been fantastic in raising awareness as well. So, you know, it's really important to have these voices and for people to hear it. And we constantly refer to people like Rachel when we're talking about it to healthcare professionals. But yeah, I mean, there are, as you probably know, have been some national bowel cancer awareness campaigns in the past, and we do some bowel cancer awareness events. So we might do some stands. I've in the past done stands outside Tesco's, giving out information about the symptoms to be aware of, making sure people know what's involved if they, you know, have symptoms that they're concerned about. And there's often campaigns around just raising awareness of what the symptoms can be, you know, and Bowel Cancer UK does play a huge part in that. And you know, we have relationships with other charities and other agencies to help us get that message across. But yeah, the thing for me is about talking to healthcare professionals as well. So yes, it's important that we get the message out to young people that bowel cancer can affect them, and not to dismiss or minimise their symptoms as being nothing to worry about or not wanting to trouble the doctor. Making them think that if their symptoms are persistent, and I think that's the key thing really, is that bowel symptoms in the population are extremely common. You know,
yes,
they're just extremely common. So rectal bleeding, for example, by far the most common cause of rectal bleeding is hemorrhoids, and everybody has hemorrhoids. You know, they are normal. Not everybody bleeds from them, but they are normal. So therefore, you can appreciate how common symptoms from hemorrhoids can be. So it's really important that people get the message that, you know, bowel symptoms, if they are persistent, ought to be investigated. Symptoms will come and go, and if they settle and you're fine and they don't reappear, then they probably are due to something benign or something that's not serious. But very definitely the message that I try to get across is don't ignore them if the symptoms are persistent. But you know, it's very, very difficult, as we've already talked about, for GPs to differentiate the difference between, you know, this young patient who's 35 who's got rectal bleeding and change in bowel habit. Should I refer them? Shouldn't I? Because of the commonality of bowel symptoms in the population.
Yeah.
And so the things that Rachel again talked about, you know, please, please, please do a FIT test. It's a very simple, relatively cheap test. So the FIT is the fecal immunochemical testing. It's testing for blood in your stools. Getting GPs to do that makes a big difference. Making sure healthcare professionals in these gatekeeping positions are asking about family history. So we know that family history doesn't necessarily mean that your symptoms might be due to cancer, or that if you've got no family history, that it's not cancer.
Yeah.
But still asking about family history will maybe make that healthcare professional refer when they otherwise wouldn't have done.
And one of the changes, I think, Harriet, that we've seen over the last couple of years that came in because of the pandemic, really, was that that FIT test you're talking about was only available to people who were eligible for the bowel cancer screening program.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. In England at the moment, that's 60 plus.
That's
although
right.
They're bringing the age down to 50, you know, by steps. But GPs are now able to use that FIT test, as we call it, for patients who have symptoms.
That's right.
So that's any age, isn't it? So I think it's important for anybody listening to this who might be thinking, actually, you know, there is something I've been meaning to check out.
Yeah.
If you go to your GP and your GP goes, oh, actually, you're too young to worry about that, you can say, could we do a FIT test?
Yes.
Let's rule this out.
Yes.
Because that then, that's detecting tiny bits of blood in the poo, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And the GP will say, well, let's refer you to have that investigated. And most cases, that's not bowel cancer.
Yeah, so if that comes back negative, it's pretty unlikely that there's anything serious going on. We know it's quite a good test. It's quite a sensitive test. So if it comes back negative, it probably means there isn't anything alarming. It's likely to be irritable bowel, or it's likely to be something that's not serious. But we know that the FIT test, if it comes back positive, can not only pick up cancer, but it might pick up polyps. It might tell us that there's another pathology going on, such as inflammatory bowel disease. So even if it's not cancer, it means that we can pick up other common bowel diseases. So yeah, I really encourage and talking to GPs and people to encourage them to use it, you know, right at the beginning of when they present with symptoms.
That's really helpful information, because that is a change, isn't it? That
it is.
Wasn't in place for Rachel when she was diagnosed.
But that's right.
It is available today.
It's now widely used. And actually, as a result of the pandemic, which we were doing because we were trying to prioritise who should be investigated when we had very, very limited colonoscopy capacity. At the beginning of the pandemic, it was thought that colonoscopy might be aerosol generating, so we weren't doing very many unless you had very, very life-threatening symptoms. So it helped us to triage patients and to decide who might be a higher priority, who's more likely to have cancer or polyps. you know, I say to people, if we catch, a bit like Rachel was saying earlier, if we catch bowel cancer early, or even before it becomes bowel cancer, if we catch it early, bowel cancer is completely treatable. But it's getting it diagnosed early. And, you know, I've done lots of work with patients talking about raising awareness and coming forward with your symptoms early. And, that, and the main reason for that is that out of all the cancers that we see, bowel cancer is one of the most treatable. So, you know, getting to your GP as early as possible is really key for that reason. My passion is about looking at why we're still seeing these delays to people being diagnosed, a bit like Rachel's been talking about.
Yes. I mean, you're doing a PhD in this area, aren't you?
I'm doing some research at the moment, hoping to do some a PhD, yes, yeah. So I've just been doing some research looking at, a systematic review. So that's looking at all the literature out there, all the evidence, all the studies that have looked at what are the barriers, or indeed the facilitators, to younger people being diagnosed earlier. And, you know, very interesting read, very interesting data out there. So lots of the things that you'd expect, such as, you know, people not being aware that bowel cancer can affect younger people, as Rachel's already mentioned, as we've already discussed. Healthcare professionals just not thinking about bowel cancer as one of the differential diagnoses when patients go to them with symptoms. We know that in terms of facilitating an earlier diagnosis, it's the use of FIT. And we also know that if young people aren't referred urgently for a procedure, and the emphasis isn't on this could be serious, they are more likely to cancel or not attend. So it's really important that young person is told this could be bowel cancer, we need to exclude bowel cancer before we do anything else, and that they are referred urgently, because if they're referred routinely, they may not equate it to being serious or important, and therefore not attend for the test. We know that younger people rely a lot more on digital technology for seeking advice and information on healthcare matters. So, you know, there's lots around young people not being able to get to their GPs because of work, because of lifestyle, because of young children. We know that GPs at the moment are just so overwhelmed, and, you know, they have a huge amount to deal with. And there has been, again, as a result of the pandemic, the introduction of some different technologies for people to be able to access GPs through digital forms. So, you know, maybe looking at how younger people can use that more effectively to suit their lifestyle, and it might then act as a facilitator to them seeking help earlier.
That's fascinating. So really, with the insight that you're gaining into what some of those barriers to a speedy diagnosis might be, what do you think this is going to achieve, you know, in the long run? Are you hoping that this will really change practice in terms of the pathway and the diagnosis for people, and maybe arm younger people who are potentially bowel cancer patients with the kind of hot buttons to press to get them seen and, you know, taken seriously?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly my vision. That's what I'd like to achieve with my research. We have to be very careful that we don't have a kind of two-tier system for younger and older patients, because obviously we still know bowel cancer is still extremely common in the older population as well. And so it's important that we have a system that meets everybody's needs. Older people generally don't use technology in the same way, so we can't sort of have one system that fits one age group or one cohort and another system for a different older generation. But it is important that we have something that works for all, and I think, you know, that's something that primary healthcare groups are looking at. How can we improve that route from referral to diagnosis, as well as the section before that, the area before that, where patients are starting to what we call appraise their symptoms at home themselves, thinking, is this important? Do I need to go to the doctor? And that's where people like Rachel come in. You know, people mm-hmm. like Rachel will go to social media. They'll start to look at people's stories, as you mentioned, and they'll start to see, gosh, this could be serious. I ought to get this checked out.
I think you took the words right out of my mouth there, because I was going to say that you two are two sides of the same coin. You would make a formidable double act. It's that absolute, you know, expert patient advocacy stuff that Rachel is just doing brilliantly and will be, you know, a comfort, inspiration, a spur for action for so many people in a similar situation. And the work that you're doing, Harriet, to make that system work better for younger people. And I do understand what you say about not putting a two-tier system in place, because, you know, that wouldn't be right, but it feels that we need to do better for younger patients than we are at the moment. And the work that you're doing will inspire and guide the health service to respond to younger patients better, to recognise and respond to them better and quicker.
Yes. And, you know, all of this has to be juggled with the pressures that we have in secondary care around diagnostic services, and that's always a challenge, because we can't investigate every single patient that's got bleeding hemorrhoids in case they've got cancer. That's just not feasible in our health, in our healthcare service. Mm-hmm. So we have to find a way that works where young people aren't waiting because they think the healthcare professional or the individual themselves just think bowel cancer can't affect me.
And I guess that's where we come in at Bowel Cancer UK, because one of the things that we have been doing kind of relentlessly in the last years, actually, is, you know, responding to policy consultations, campaigning with government to get the health service the resources, the people and the kit it needs to diagnose people, you know, to respond to the need that there is out there at the moment. And it's just not there now. It wasn't there before the pandemic, and the pandemic's made it worse. So I met with the Secretary of State, Sajid Javid, a couple of weeks ago, actually, with some other cancer charity chief execs, and he was launching his next 10-year cancer plan and asking for people to respond to the consultation. And I raised these issues then, that, you know, without that access to diagnosis, his aspiration of diagnosing 75% of cancers at stage one and two, right now that's been dragged down by, you know, the lack of capacity in bowel.
Yes, and one of my other hats is training in endoscopy. And you mentioned about Health Education England. And we campaign tirelessly to try and train, funding to try and train more healthcare professionals to learn to become endoscopists, particularly non-medic. So I've been a nurse endoscopist for nearly 25 years and trained a lot of nurses to do the role. And we know that nurses are very capable of being excellent endoscopists. And not just nurses, we have radiographers, we have scientists doing it. So, you know, it is something that HE have supported, and we just need to get that funding in place to get more people trained to be able to do these procedures so that we can improve our capacity in most hospitals to get patient waiting lists down.
Rachel, Harriet, this has been a fascinating discussion, absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us today. Is there anything else that you haven't said that you would like to say to our listeners today?
Yeah, I'm just building on what Harriet is saying, really, all really valuable information. And if I could spit in your pocket, Harriet, I would. but yeah, it's just to reiterate that you're never too young. And I always say, check the worst first, and you're never too young, fit or healthy to get a diagnosis. Because people might think, oh, I drank water, I had fruit and veg every day, I still got cancer. So is ensuring really, even if you're active and you're fit and healthy, you can still, if you've got those persistent problems, seek medical advice, download the Bowel Cancer UK symptom diary, take that along to your GP, get familiar with the Bristol stool chart. So you haven't got to say about your poo, you can say type, you're having lots of type 7, a 6, you know, you familiarise yourself, I can't say that word, with stools and your poo, and don't be embarrassed to talk about it.
That's really important, knowing your body, knowing how your body works and recognising those changes and doing something about it. Even if it's just telling one person, that will probably mean if you've told one person, then it's quite hard to untell that person. And if it gets worse, you can tell them again. And then they can encourage you to go visit somebody to just talk about it.
I really echo that, because although living a healthy lifestyle and being fit and active and all the things we know we should do can help stack the odds in your favour, it's not ever going to mean you'll never get cancer. So you do need to keep being aware of what's, trust your gut, yes, know what's right for you. Yes. And if something isn't right, as Harriet says, we need to speak to someone, right? And it's just poo. You know, I think poo. We need to get...
I talk about it all day, every day.
Yeah. We need to get a bit more comfortable with that, yeah, don't we? And, you know, because we're very British, you go to your GP and you think, well, oh, do I have to say stool sample or whatever? You know, no, it's poo.
I do have an amusing story. When I was doing an awareness campaign stand, and we were giving out information about how to look out for the symptoms and how to reduce your risk. And so many people would see the posters we had around us and the banners, etc., and they would look at it and see poo and then go, ooh, no, and walk the other way, as if we were giving out bowel cancer. And we would chase them and we'd say, no, no, we're not. We just want you to talk about poo. We want you to talk about your poo. And it is very difficult for lots of people to talk about their bowels, and, you know, particularly generational, perhaps. It's always been something that they were told they shouldn't, so... You know, it is really important to talk about your poo. Rachel, I just think you're amazing it sounds a bit cheesy to say it, but what you say is just so inspirational to people. It must make a difference.
I hope so. Because, I really hope so.
It's so important.
Yeah,
so important.
I think because I was so blindsided by the diagnosis, you know, I'm thinking it just spurs me on, and because I've had such a lot of surgery and life-changing surgery, it just makes mm-hmm. me want to do more and more and more. I can't do enough for Bowel Cancer UK, really.
That's what's inspirational, because you could be exhausted by that, couldn't you? You could be like, I don't want to talk about poo anymore. I just want to get better. I want to forget about it. I want to just get on with my life. But, you know, the fact that you haven't and you're doing this for the benefit of other people is incredible.
Thank you, Harriet. Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you again, both of you. That's been absolutely fascinating. I know that you all have struck a chord with so many people listening.
Thank you so much.
If you've been inspired by our wonderful guest today in this episode, there are lots of ways to get involved and support our work. Visit our website, bowelcanceruk.org.uk, or follow us on social media at bowelcanceruk on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, where you'll find all our latest news and updates. And don't forget to like and subscribe to our podcast. So that's the end of our first episode. I'm so thrilled you could join us. Please do spread the word, and I hope to see you again soon.